Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is August Crenshaw, your host of As a Kid Radio Show. Always happy to be back in the studio with you and have wonderful conversations about what we're trying to learn about in the Word of God that's different than what we've ever learned before. Can I get an amen to that one? Today's topic is going to be kind of interesting. And the reason why I say, well, who am I? I think they're all interesting. But, you know, one of the things I trip off of, and I don't know if you trip off of this, is that when it comes to power being displayed in the church, don't we all kind of feel like, where is it at? I mean, sometimes when you read the scriptures and you see how, you know, Jesus and even the disciples, after he had passed, laid hands on the sick and people were healed and individuals were risen from the dead and speaking in tongues and prophesying. You know, things like that were like normal. It wasn't something that was like, oh, you know, they doing that over here at this church, but all these other churches, they don't do it at. So it's like, well, why is that? You know, that's one of the things that I won't say puzzles me, but it is one of the things that I definitely think about myself, you know, or rather I have thought about. Well, I ended up having a conversation with an individual, and I said, you know what, I actually need to do a show on it. And the reason that I'm going to bring is not the only reason, but it is a primary reason. And I am going to be putting a challenge out there, and I'm going to be saying that something that we learned in the church is wrong. I'm saying it right now. And I know a lot of times I'm already putting stuff out there that makes you think differently than what you're being taught. But I am putting it out there right now. I am about to bring up a topic today and say that Scripture has been taught wrong area when it comes to laying on hands, healing, casting out demons, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and the bottom line is it's something that the church is supposed to be doing now. And for people that are confused, there is no confusion. This is what the disciples were doing even after Jesus left. It was not just for Jesus to come, walk the earth, perform some miracles, gone about his business, and we get to be saved, and that's all we preach, and then we keep it pushing. No, we are actually supposed to be continuing in that which he did. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the disciples before he departed, he said, these things and greater things shall ye do because I go to the Father. Now, let me just put it out there. Why is it that it was explained, if you think about it, there was a situation with the disciples. For those of you that are just studiers of the Bible, there's a situation out there with the disciples, and they had went out there, and they were healing. And in one instance, it didn't work out right. And when it didn't work out, the church has taught us that it didn't happen because of fasting and praying. Okay? Think about that. The scripture says, these come not but by fasting and praying. So haven't we been taught that? And some of us, when something really, really big needs to be done, what do? We'd be like, oh, we need to fast and pray on that topic, you know, on that individual. You know, such and such is sick, and they got cancer, and, you know, this is a stronger kind of cancer, something we've never dealt with before. Maybe when, you know, we prayed for healing, the reason why it didn't work with Suso is because we haven't prayed and fasted on it. And then sometimes, I mean, come on, let's keep it real. Haven't we prayed and fasted, and then that individual or that still doesn't get healed or that circumstance still doesn't change? So then whose fault is it? You know, and what ends up happening with the church is we start making up excuses, and then we start saying stuff like, well, maybe it's because it's a root of sin in her life. You know, maybe the Lord, you know, is dealing with her and trying to teach her a lesson. And we basically start coming with all of these condemning theories that have nothing to do with why the situation is what it is. Matter of fact, maybe it has to do with one key word, one word that I will not say right now at this moment. So I said that I was going to challenge the church and say that what they were teaching was wrong when it came to children. And let me say this, many ministers in the church, not all people are saying this particular scripture wrong, But I, in particular, in every church that I have dealt with, this is the way that it has been taught to me. So if you look at a couple of reference scriptures, you're going to find out in your studies, if you look, you'll see that there was a time when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. And, Lord, my notes are a little bit all over the place today. I want to say that that's in Matthew chapter 9 when he sent them out. It's also, I think, in Mark chapter 6 and Luke around chapter 10. But the bottom line is for those of us that are good studiers of the Bible, we know that there was a time when it says that Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. He sent them out two by two so that they, and he told them, when you go, I want you to heal all manner of disease. Matter of fact, believe it or not, I know this topic. I'm not as prepared as I usually am. But, yeah, Matthew chapter 10 is where we're going to read in particular. Like I said, it's in Luke, it's in Mark as well. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, and this is when Jesus sent the disciples out. It says, if you start at verse 5, the 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And ye, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, verse 8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Now, here's my question. Where is the limitation? In that specific scripture, where is the limitation? I see none. He's talking about casting out devils, cleansing lepers, and I want to bring that one, especially about cleansing lepers out, because for those of you that know it, lepers were severely, they were ostracized and criticized and were cast out. They weren't even able to be among people. It's like how AIDS was when it first came out. And they was like, oh, my God, you have leprosy? You can't even be in the community. So there, I'm just saying that there was no limit. The things that other people would not naturally touch and wouldn't want to be around, God is saying, Jesus is saying, go out there. I want you to deal with these people. And he's not giving them any restrictions. He's saying, basically, if they come across you, I want you to heal them. Matter of fact, let's look at the scripture in Luke. It's in Luke chapter 10. If you look at Luke chapter 10 at verse 19, this is once again when they Jesus sent them out and he told them to go and heal the sick and do all of that stuff. When the disciples came back, and this is not just the 12. Let me add this. When we talk about the disciples, we always talk about them like it's only 12 of us. But there were lots of disciples. There were lots of followers of Christ. It's just their significance in the 12 that were close to him and dwell with him. But if you start reading at verse 17, this is after they came back. Because, I mean, they were real hype because they had gotten success with what they were doing. And it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name, through the name of Jesus. And it says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus saying back to them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So what's the key word? All, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that they are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So now we have it in Luke chapter 10 where we see Jesus was sitting there saying, I give you the ability to tread on scorpions. You know, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. So once again, there are no restrictions. There are no exclusions. So where in the world does the church come from with this idea that when something is unsuccessful, that one of the things that happened had to do with the fact that someone didn't fast and pray? Well, let's go there. Let's go and see where this error came at. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. So all the disciples, they had been out, they had been healing. And unfortunately, somebody out there that really, really, really wanted their healing didn't get it, and they found Jesus, and they came to him, and the disciples were with him. If you go to Matthew chapter 17 and you look at verse 14, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying," kneeling down to Jesus, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured that very hour. Verse 19, and the disciples, they came to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" I'm going to tell you something. When you read Jesus' answer, it's right in front of your face. But for some reason, the wrong thing has been said for many years. This is the problem that we have as people. It's called communication. So I'm gonna move away from the scripture real quick because I need to give a practical example. So if I have an issue with you, whoever you are, and I sit here and say, okay, when this whole situation went down, know and believe in my heart, I have always trusted you. You have never did anything shady towards me, but the way this whole thing went down, you look like a thief to me. If the only thing you hear is me saying the way this whole thing went down, you look like a thief to me, then if our conversation goes off of just that one point, we're going to be arguing about whether or not you are or aren't a thief in my eyes and how I didn't trust you. But if you listen to what I said before, how I've always trusted you and I knew that this shouldn't have happened, but it's just because of the things that happened, the way that it looked, that could make the conversation go a different direction. That can make someone say, okay, wait a minute, hold up, so you've always trusted me. You know, and I hear what you're saying, the way things look, but let's go back. Why did you trust me? You know, conversations can take a different route based on what we hear from a person. How many, have you ever said something to somebody and it's like you talk for 5 minutes trying to explain yourself? I don't know about y'all, but I'm an explainer. I'm an explainer because I feel like my words get twisted or have gotten twisted by people so much in the past that people can't just come to me and say, hey, do you believe in this or believe in that? Do you like this or you like that? And I have to be like, well, let me just say this first, that I like, you know, it could be something simple as ice cream. I just want to say that I like, you know, all kinds of ice cream. But, yeah, Millennium Crunch is my favorite. You know, there's just that need to explain yourself because so often there's a glitch in humanity that so often we hear the parts that we want to hear and not the part that we need to hear. We hear the parts that we want to hear and not the part that we need to hear. Why am I saying this? Let's go back and finish the scripture. We're in Matthew chapter 17. So like I said, this young man, this man's son needed to be healed. He brought the son to Jesus and told him, your disciples were unsuccessful. Jesus was the one who did it, and he was successful. And the disciples asked him, why were we unsuccessful? And verse 20 starts off just like this. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Did you catch that? He didn't say because you did not fast and pray first. He said because of your unbelief. With this particular situation, I don't know what happened. Paint the picture whichever way you want it to be. These are men of God. They heal plenty of people. They lay hands on plenty of people. They cast devils out on plenty of people. They were having success. But are you a man or woman of God where you have had plenty of success with God, but then all of a sudden something comes up and you be like, oh, I don't know. I done seen God do some things. But the concept of doubt comes into your mind. So it's okay for them to have had a, they had all the success, but maybe this spirit, maybe when this little boy came to him, he was having one of his episodes. And maybe it was an episode unlike anything they ever saw. And it shook the disciples up, and they're like, oh, Lord, we don't know if we can handle this. And you forget the promise. They forgot the promise that he made. I give you authority over all of them, everything, all power of the enemy. So let's finish reading to see where this confusion comes up and understand why I said we hear what we want to hear and not what we need to hear. It says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out by prayer and fasting. Excuse me. I don't know if you all caught that. The reason why it didn't happen was because the disciples didn't believe. Now, see, we've used this scripture about moving a mountain a whole bunch of times, but every time we talk about moving a mountain, that mountain belongs to us. Oh, girl, you going through something. All you got to do is have faith in the mustard seed and, you know, speak to that mountain and it's going to move. But Jesus is talking about having the faith to move a mountain for somebody else. They were talking about healing someone else, and he said this did not happen because you didn't believe. But if you would have had the faith of a mustard seed, you could have told that mountain to move and it would have moved. He said, but this kind of belief comes but by praying and fasting. Not the ability to cast out the demon or to heal the sick, but in order for your belief to grow, that's what you fast and pray for. See, fasting and praying is about your personal relationship with God. It's about you communicating with him in order to develop his character. If you go read Isaiah chapter 58, when you read, God even says to the people, you will not fast the way you want to. You're going to fast the way I tell you to. And then he goes on to list all of these things that are supposed to occur when you're fasting. He said you're supposed to clothe the naked. You know, you're supposed to feed the hungry. You're not supposed to hide from your flesh, meaning your family. You're supposed to be in the midst of people. And he said, and when you do that, the captive are going to be set free. You know, health is going to spring forth like the noonday. You know, when you're, the bottom line is, Jesus was, if you read the scriptures, it says he was always moved with compassion. Compassion, people. So in order to develop a mind and a heart like God, you consecrate yourself. You set yourself aside. You communicate with God to help increase your compassion for people. It is the love of God that allowed Jesus to do everything that he did, even up to the point of the cross with the shedding of his blood to cover us for our sins. So, yes, it's time to stop saying that the thing didn't happen because someone didn't fast or pray. You guys got to excuse me. I'm getting over a cold. Listen, so what did I mean by the comment, hearing what you want to hear and hearing what you need to hear? You don't want to hear that something didn't happen because you didn't believe. Because, you know, especially if you've already, think about it, the disciples. No, we believers. I mean, can't you hear them already? No, we believe. Because, see, this one girl, she actually had been a leper, and we healed her. And this one man, he had sores all over his body, and we healed him. And this other little boy, he was falling out and had the palsy, and I mean had epilepsy, and we healed him. And somebody else had the palsy. And that's what we do. When things don't work out, if somebody ever calls us out for a mistake or an area in which we've erred, what do? We start saying, no. Because I did this, and I did that, and I know how to do that. We automatically jump on the defensive. So instead of us reading the scriptures and saying, I need to increase my belief in God so that I can operate in the prophetic, so I can perform miracles, instead of putting it on yourself and saying that the only thing that's missing is my ability to believe what we need to hear. We look at the parts that we wanted to hear and say, oh, well, you know what, this didn't work out. You know what, I should have fasted and prayed first. It's an excuse. Yes, I'm saying that preaching this passage that way puts us in the position of having an excuse. And I'm sick and tired of people in the church always having excuses for why something did not happen, why it does not happen. And because I'm connected with, you know, a man of God, my mentor, God has blessed me to actually live in the same city with my mentor that has been mentoring me for 12 years. Okay, I'm gonna go on a segue for just a second. I ministered a lot of different times about moving in faith and trusting God, and a lot of you got to hear me talk about the move from St. Louis, and now we're in Houston, Texas, and how God wanted us to be there and opportunity, you know, for people that spoke to us, family and friends, and we even talked to them about the opportunities, the better environment, better schools, you know, better for business. We really knew why we was coming down here. Look, my cousin, who's actually a little younger than me, has been mentoring me in the gospel since 2002. I moved here first. We got here on July the 20th, September the 9th, for a job that my cousin was going to turn down. Since September the 9th, he's been here in Texas with me. Look at God. See, because I don't know about you, but you got to really understand something. You grow spiritually based on your independent relationship with God, if it's a strong one, and also based on the leadership that you're with. And if you've got people who don't operate freely in the spiritual gifts, you're going to find yourself not operating freely in the spiritual gifts. When I'm around my cousin, I operate in the prophetic more. I believe for healing in people more. And the reason being is because, see, I'm not talking about living off of his testimonies and seeing and hearing him. I'm talking about seeing him in action. And I'm talking about being around him that thing is contagious, and then me operating as well. This is a man who has called me on the phone. This is back in 2006. Called me on the phone and said, hey, August, I got this sister on the line. I want you to pray for her. I'm like, okay, pray for what? Hey, just pray however the Lord leads you. I mean, he challenges you. And I'm like, okay, so I'm nervous, right? And I'm like, oh, God, what am I supposed to pray for? I don't know this woman. And if I just start praying, what if I pray the wrong thing? And I actually prayed for this woman and encouraged her to get out of a lifestyle that she wasn't supposed to be in. And when I finished praying, I'm like, oh, I hope I didn't say something wrong. But I just let the Spirit use me, and she broke down on the phone and said, you know what, you're right, and I know I need to change the situation. But see, I know what my cousin was doing. My cousin wanted this woman to see the power of God and see it, but that's what he would do with me. He would call me on a humbug. I'd be doing a client, sir, I need to speak to your client. They got a pain in their back. I'm going to pray for that so they can get healed right now. Matter of fact, the first time he met my husband had a real bad pain in his back from an accident that he had, and it would trigger him, and he would always be like, could you please rub my back right here? And this is before we were married. And the first time my cousin met him, didn't know him from a can of paint, he was like, you got a problem with your back. Come on, we finna heal that thing now. My husband's never had that problem ever again. I'm talking about God does move. He does operate in miracles. He does. Look, let me give you this testimony. Here's another testimony for me where I can show you how God moves. I remember when I was married to my first husband, I remember being extremely distraught because I was trying with everything in my heart to be a better wife. No matter what he did, I just wanted to be a good wife, and I wanted to pray, and I wanted to fast, and I wanted to cook, and I wanted to clean. And I mean, from a practical and a spiritual level, I wanted to do everything that I could, and I was resting on that scripture that said that the sanctified wife, sanctified husband. And I remember that things just kept getting, it's like the more humble I became, the more notorious he became. Like, I could walk all over her. And you all have to understand, for August to be built like the kind of person that don't get walked over, that was truly a changing moment for me. But I was getting broken down, and I remember one night sitting on my bed crying. And I didn't even pray this prayer out loud. And I just looked up, and I, in my mind, I was thinking, God, do you even love me anymore? Am I still saved? You know, I didn't know what was going on, because I felt like I wasn't accomplishing anything. I felt like he wasn't hearing me, or, you know, and nothing was going right. And the next morning I had a client that came to get her hair done. And I just got up and went through my regular routine. And all of a sudden I heard a knock at the door. And this is like 9-ish, 10-ish, something like that. And when I went to the door, it was an aunt of mine. Now, let me put some background information on here. Number one, my aunt worked literally up the street and around the corner from where I live. And she had never been to my house where me and my husband lived at. She also was a hairstylist. And back in the day, everybody knew on Monday she was going to get her rest. And if anything, when she got up, she was going to the mall. But she was not going to be doing nothing extra. This is the aunt that knocked on my door that Monday morning. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, I love her. She can come in. You know, I'm surprised. This is a, you know, and that's another thing. People that know me, I don't do pop-up visits. I know when people come into my place. So she came in, and she sat for a second, and we all laughed, me, her, and the client, while I'm doing hair. And then she looked at me, and she said, okay, I need to do what I was told to do. I need to, you know, I have a mission, basically. That wasn't her words, but. And she came and gave me a hug. And she said to me, God said, yes, he does love you. And even to this day, still remembering that moment, it almost makes me want to cry, because that is a testimony that I have. I got to see the power of God. God could have answered me himself, but there was something magnificent about the way that he set that thing up. And by her being obedient, see, that was a miracle for me. That could have been my breaking point of me just giving up and quitting. And I might have stayed in that marriage. I might have gotten away from the church. It's a lot of things that went through my heart and my mind. But because she heard the word of the Lord, she came and she spoke prophetically and answered my prayer. Church, see, we got to do this. We got to be willing to speak up and speak out, because, see, people's souls are depending on us getting free and operating in the spirit. Yeah, you need to fast and you need to pray. There's no ritual to it. I can't tell you that you need to do it every day, or that you need to do it once a week or once a month, or that you're good because you did it with the church at, you know, the first of the year, and, you know, all of these different things. That's not what I'm saying. You fast and you pray because you consecrate yourself to get closer to God, to develop his heart, to develop a heart for his people, so that results can come out. But we got to stop teaching this word. Jesus said, when the disciples said, why didn't this work? He said it was because of your unbelief. But you know what? There's another scripture in the Bible when Jesus asked the man, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And the man looked at Jesus and said, help my unbelief. And he went ahead and brought healing forth. So please understand that me ministering this thing is saying that some things weren't accomplished because you don't believe, that still doesn't mean that that's why it isn't going to happen. Because you know that there's some areas in your life that you're unsure of and that you don't believe. You don't really know. You know there's some people that you're grieving for and you want to see them heal. You want to see the power of God restore them. But you don't believe that you're the one that's supposed to do it. If you could just get in the path of such and such, or, you know, Dr. So-and-so, they'll be all right. But deep down inside of your heart, you are moved with so much compassion that you want to see it yourself and you wish that you could do it yourself. Well, let's stop wishing. And ask Jesus to help your unbelief to take you to the next level. You know, so like I told you guys, there's a lot changing with me as far as my scheduling and my life is concerned. I really want to continue to do the radio show, but I cannot do it as long. So I'm kind of coming in more like a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. I'm still planning to be as thorough, but I've pretty much made my presentation sweet, simple, and quick and to the point. You got a question or a comment, push one. Because I'm curious to know, has this had an effect on anybody? Do you understand even what I'm saying? And if you don't agree and you think I'm saying something erroneous, get challenged. Challenge me. And I say that in a positive manner. Put it out there. Because I know that this isn't just me. This isn't just my church. I'm speaking to people in different states and all over the place. And this is something I've even listened to Googling other pastors in other areas of the country that have, you know, international ministries that have been teaching this thing. Maybe you don't have a comment right now. Pray on it. Go to the scriptures. Reread them. Look at it. Call me for those of you that know me. Email me for those of you that don't know me that personally. AugustCrenshaw@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. I don't care. So post a comment on Facebook. We can go back and forth on Facebook. Ooh, I want people to be able to see. But this is something truly for you to think about. We don't have any limitations. Jesus said, "These things and greater things shall ye do because I go to the Father." He died on the cross, and after that, because of that, we were able to be forgiven, and then we were able to exercise the Great Commission. He did not say, "These things and greater things shall ye do because I go to the Father and ye pray and fast." I'm just saying. Church, we all at some point in our lives have done some things that are magnificent, and we don't understand how we did it. But you know what? God got us. Because he called us when we were vulnerable, when we were free, when you weren't thinking about what you should say, but you just said, you know what, I'm going to go say something. You opened up your mouth. It's like Jesus told the disciples that if they ever got called up and they had to go before the authorities in court, he said, don't even think about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit is going to give you what you need to speak. That level of freedom where you're like, you know what, I don't have to figure this out anymore. I just need to open up my mouth and say, for thus said the Lord. So there's my snippet for the day. Please continue to read your word and quit being satisfied with what you're taught. Don't dissect it apart because you're looking for ways to destroy the church and separate people and separate the kingdom. But look for clarity. Look for clarity so that you can be able to move the way God wants you to move. And then pray for him to give you the wisdom if you do have to correct somebody because they've been teaching something wrong. You know what? Sometimes you don't get to correct people. Let me just throw this in here as well before I get off. Sometimes people don't want to be corrected. But if you know the truth, it's going to set you free. I've had to learn that in my lifetime, too. Everybody does. I've gotten ridiculed in the church. For speaking up against things. I'm not trying to separate the church. You know, some things won't come to the light. The Bible says that don't call a thing out before time because all things done in the dark will come to light. That's speaking in reference to people when they make mistakes or they sin. But for even for people that some of these people you're making honest mistakes. Some people manipulate the Bible and preach the wrong thing. But a lot of people are preaching these things this way because it's an honest error. Whether it's because they just, like I said, automatically saw what they wanted to see instead of what they needed to see, or because, you know, they just trusted someone else and let them teach them, and then that's what they saw, and they ran with it. And even though they might have saw something different, they dismissed it because they esteemed the individual who taught them more than they esteemed the Holy Spirit and the nudging that it was giving. Whenever I teach these controversial things, it's not because I'm trying to destroy the church. I'm trying to make it stronger. So also, if you're hearing this and you get it and you understand it, please don't take this and run with it and then go make it sure. I got to tell my pastor something because they don't want. No. Because everything that we do, the word says our worship be seasoned with grace. You know, we're not supposed to debate the word of God. But we are supposed to share revelation knowledge. So thank you, everyone, for getting on the air with me. I have enjoyed sharing with you. I pray this word blesses all of us and that it takes us to the next level. Like I said, reach out to me and give me some more topics, some things that are curious. I'm having these conversations, and I'm going to bring them out here to everyone else. So thank you all for joining in. I can't wait to speak to you next week. Bye-bye.